Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'm...
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we have two special guests for you today. We have Phil Armstrong from the Prophecy Zone radio program on Blog Talk Radio, and also Christine Weick will be joining us. And we'll be talking about spiritual warfare, peace or tribulation. What is it? What do you think? And when they say peace, peace, will there be any peace until the Prince of Peace himself returns to the earth? Well, some of us know the answer to that. But anyway... We're going to also go over some of the Super Bowl commercials. We had touched on it last week, and of course the Super Bowl is over now, and I thought it was a great game. It was a cliffhanger to the end. So what about the lights going out? Now that was something, right? The lights went out. I didn't know what to think myself. I thought, uh-oh. Thought maybe somebody was messing around with the lights. They came out with some kind of a report about it, but I'm not sure exactly what happened. But anyway, everybody's safe and sound, so we thank God for that. Hi, everybody in the chat room. We'll be checking the chat room today. And we'll be taking your calls if you have any questions for Phil or Christine. 914-338-1638. So I'm going to bring my guests on now. Hello.
Hey.
Hey, Phil.
How you doing?
Good. Let me bring Christine on. I think this is Christine. Hi, Christine.
And hello to the both of you. Phil, it's been many moons ago, so good to hear your voice.
Yeah, good to hear yours.
Yeah, the old Prophecy Zone radio crew here. But anyway, it was quite a Sunday last week, especially when the lights went out there in the Superdome, right after the halftime. I didn't know if did Beyonce have anything to do with that?
Well, she was blamed for it at first because she brought in, you know, so much more energy. But I guess they said that she had her own generator and her own source of power to do her... her stage show, so they said
she
was not connected.
Power, all right.
But I think it kind of showed God's disapproval on this one.
Oh yeah, I was like, what? I never saw that happen at a Super Bowl. All of a sudden, it was like the air went out of the game, and you're kind of wondering what is going to happen now. I mean, that was really something.
Yeah.
Phil, what did you think about that?
You can count your blessings that there wasn't a dirty bomb instead of the lights going off.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, that could have easily been us watching that, and it could have just completely went blank, and then on another channel, or, you know, they would have been telling us what happened. But I thought it was kind of probably one of the best Super Bowls I've seen. Because
it was a good game. It was. I was at the edge of my seat till the last second. I mean, I didn't know what was going to happen. You know, it was really anybody could have won that one.
What the buzz is that the sign that Beyonce put up was a triangle. I've been seeing a lot of pyramids being shown for the last couple of years. Matter of fact, I think American Idol last show last year, Nicki Minaj was on there. I think it was the last show, and she was in a. Well, my son asked me, "Well, where's she at then?" You know, the music started playing. I said, "She's probably in that pyramid." Exactly what happened. She was in the pyramid. She came out of the pyramid, and it's some symbolic of occultic, you know, occultic practices.
Yeah.
And then Madonna was on the Super Bowl last year, and that was filled with a lot of occultic symbolism. But this year was just kind of, you have to read into it a little bit more, like the two faces looking at each other. Stuff like that, you have to read into it. But what I saw was the pyramid that she held up. They were using it on the internet, kind of running it on the internet. You know, the gossip on the internet is that it was a part of a cult symbol. But when I did a little bit more research, it seems like she was trying to convey her husband's label.
I see.
Rockwell. But I don't buy it. Her husband has already been proven to be in the Illuminati somewhat, if he's just a shadow figure for him. All these characters in the entertainment business, mostly, you know, just their puppets.
Yeah.
And they're messengers. They're messengers.
Yeah. But yeah, they're the messengers, yeah.
Yeah, then the Illuminati is messengers for Satan. And to me, when you start reading books about the Illuminati and all this other stuff, pick up a Bible and read it. The Bible tells you more about anything. And it's easy to understand because you're looking at the broader picture that even the Illuminati works for Satan. When you do that, it's easier. It's much, much easier. Because when I start reading all the books and all the readings, you know, the Illuminati and the Rockefellers and the Council of Foreign Relations, my head wants to explode because I'm trying to come up with the answer, and you're not unless you read the Bible and say, well, okay, we got one being with billions of demons who want to be worshipped either now or in the future. And then it's much easier to understand why they do certain things on these commercials and why they do certain things on the Super Bowl and why they do certain things throughout the year. It's because they're training us and they're getting us ready. These actors and movie stars are not the only ones who are going to be worshipped in faith. The Bible says in Revelation 13 that no man will buy or sell unless he had a mark in his right hand or forehead. And they're going to have to submit their whole entire being to Satan. So that's exactly what most of these entertainers have done.
Yeah, it's kind of their, it's a preparation because in 1 Timothy, we read 1 Timothy 4, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron.
Right. Yep.
And that's pretty strong, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't try to hide it. Last week we had mentioned, Christine brought it up, about Jay-Z, who is Beyonce's husband, that he had a saying on his shirt from the Satanic Bible. And actually, I found out that That is his clothing line.
Yeah, oh, it says, do as you will.
Yeah.
Do as you will or do as
yeah.
you mean. And that used to be a chant in the 1960s. They started promoting that.
Yeah,
but,
in
Aleister
the 60s,
Crowley,
yeah.
Aleister Crowley had that. And I think not only Jay-Z, but Kanye West or somebody else. I forgot who it was. But they, of course, if you're not following God, you're going to want to do as you please. I mean, even God says you have a short time. And he says sin only lasts for a season. So have
that's
at it.
It. There's pleasure in sin for a season. Well, that's true. Of course, we know we've all been there where we weren't saved. We weren't born again. We didn't know Jesus
yep.
as our Savior. So, yeah, we lived our life any way we wanted to. In total rebellion against God. So we see this now. Christine, so what did you make of the power outage and then Beyonce's performance there at the Super Bowl? Now, there were a couple good commercials.
Oh, there was a couple of excellent commercials.
Yeah, God Made a Farmer.
Oh, I mean, I'm going to think I'm going to buy one of them trucks just for
I'm
that.
I'm telling you, that was precious. You know,
I mean,
that was really, and the horse, and then the Joe Montana stain, that was a riot.
You know, God has his means of putting his activity in there, too. You know, God's not going to get left out here all entirely. There were a few companies that put God in there, too. So, you know, that was definitely, we're going to see that less and less as they're going to be the ones left out because there is a board that goes and determines what commercials are allowed and which ones are not.
Oh.
So it's, you know, a matter of time. I mean, when you have a company and you want to put on a Super Bowl commercial, yeah, you can pay your $8 million or whatever it was. I believe it said it was $8 million this year for a 30-second spot.
Wow.
But that doesn't mean you get in. You still have a panel that decides and picks the commercials and submits the ones that are accepted. They accept the ones that are submitted. So you can submit one, but it doesn't mean that you get it. So that's something that I also learned this year on how they pick which commercials are allowed and which ones are not. So it was very unusual that I thought, oh, man, look at that one. We actually have a God-fearing one. So somebody on that panel must have allowed it for sake of conscience or something or to even out the scale, let's put it that way.
Yeah, I was shocked. I was actually shocked when they played the God Made a Farmer commercial.
Very heartwarming. It was great. But
the
power outage, you know, I just – some of them had come back on as part of the generator. And I guess, you know, reading into it later, my first thought was, okay, somebody is going to – first thing I thought of was the Louisiana sinkhole exploded. And that the power was out everywhere in Louisiana, not just the Super Bowl. That was my first thought.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that quickly, of course, when the power came on with the generator, and you could see the outside lights were you know, around the arena were on. But I guess this kind of brings me back to the idea of the Titanic because, you know, they put all this work into making sure the lights stayed on, but yet God still provided some kind of I don't know. God was messing with them. I really do think that. But, you know, you could say, hey, that was just a power surge. Good grief, whatever. But you know what? This is Super Bowl. We don't have power surges.
No, we don't
Super
have.
Bowl.
I don't ever remember ever since
I mean,
I've been watching
where,
Super Bowls
you know,
where there was a power outage.
I mean, this
for
is where
30,
the whole
like 34
world
minutes,
watching.
They stopped the game? No, you don't ever
no,
see that.
No, we don't do this. And what would have really been, there was two things that I want to bring up. These were the what-ifs, and of course they didn't happen. The punt return that went from one field to the other, I don't remember who did that anymore, but what if the light had gone out when he was doing that run? That was shortly after that run was made.
Oh, yeah, that was
I mean, that would have
the Ravens.
Been, wow.
Scored
a
touchdown, yeah.
Sure, the light went out for, what, you know, a complete
after
darkness
that,
for just a few seconds.
Shortly after that, yeah.
But what if it had happened when he had making his punt return? So it was something there. And what would have happened if the 49ers had won? because this was a almost a flip of the.
That was a close game.
I mean, it was like they regrouped, and of course, it's still, you know.
They came back like gangbusters, that's for
right,
sure.
Right, they did. They had like a power surge within themselves.
Yeah, they did.
They really did.
I was
did.
Like, you know, the commentator saying, oh, the Ravens' defense, they're old and tired. And they said they can't run. And for a while there, you could see it. Like, it's just like the energy went out.
Yeah.
And so of the
team. That was, you know, but that didn't happen. But it would have been, I'm sure, the big talk. That, oh, then you can hear this conspiracy theory. The 49ers threw the switch. You know, I mean, could you hear it right
now? Well, sure you would have heard that.
You betcha you would have. The game would have had to be replayed. This was, you know,
yeah, there would have been a real uproar there. I mean, it was bad enough in the end when they wanted to call that penalty, and then, you know, the 49ers wound up losing and not getting the new set of downs. So
right.
It was...
But I do want to make one comment on the Beyonce performance. Number one, there was one thing missing, and that was a pole. It was sick. I mean, she was in lingerie and dancing around, and the body grinding that she did, and you call this a family show. It would be embarrassing. I mean, I had a 15-year-old son watching it for a whole different reason than I was. And, you know, and I'm trying to, like, okay, look at what, you know, and there really wasn't much except for, but she flashed the Illuminati sign. Now, a couple things about that. You can say that was a diamond, but did you catch the audience that was in front of her? The fans that were right in front of the stage, a number of times a hand went up and made the a triangle sign. Did you catch that?
No, I didn't watch the halftime show.
Yeah, and you will see a fan, and like nobody else has got their hands up in the air, which I thought was really weird. I'm wondering if they were told, keep your hands down for the camera so people can see her feet or whatever, because the camera is going to be lower, keep your hands down. And everybody had their hands down. Now, you had to go to a rock concert. Their hands are not down.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all up in the air and doing
right.
the devil sign or doing the hand waving. They were all down, except one person put his hand up and did the Illuminati sign, did the flash. And that's not for Jay-Z because he's facing Beyonce. So, no, you catch that. It is a definite sign. You can see it. So
okay,
because
there was one.
It.
I did see a picture from her halftime show where
right.
she was laying down, and she was
her.
Had her arms outstretched. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I you know, and just catching the. I never caught the sign she did do. I mean, that was the media that brought it to my attention, and I went, "Oh, you stinker! You snuck that one in," and I never caught that one.
Yeah,
and. But somebody said, well, it's a diamond shape, you know. But you look at the commercial for Mercedes, that diamond shape is in the background. So if you want to call it a diamond, go right ahead. But then why is Mercedes using a diamond shape in their commercial?
Yeah, that...
you know, I mean, that diamond is in the pyramid, you know, with that design that was on the dance floor. So... Some are saying, well, a diamond shape is also a part of it. I don't know. But triangle is the main symbol for the Illuminati.
Well, definitely they made the hand signal. And, someone made a comment on Facebook the other day that there is no Illuminati.
Well, I was in the delusion. So I guess he's already deluded.
So what is the Illuminati? And both Phil and Christine, please answer the question.
The little bit of background that I've had on it, as I believe it was started, of course, the Freemasons have been around for hundreds of years. This goes all the way back to the Knights Templar and that type of idea with the Rosicrucia, which was roses and crosses.
Okay.
I mean, if anybody has Netflix, Google, or not Google, but get the video series called Riddles in Stone. boy, is that an eye-awakener. It goes all the way back to how Shakespeare was chosen for, and if you look at the plays that Shakespeare did, a lot of the symbolism is in there.
Okay.
And the whole word, I mean, that is just amazing how far back this goes. This goes back all the way, actually, to
what
Egypt.
Was it called? Riddles and Stone?
Riddles, like, you know, like a joke, riddle.
Yeah.
Riddles and Stone.
Okay.
And there's a four documentaries CD collection, but you can do one of each because they're each 4 hours long.
Okay.
But they have to be 4 hours long. The material this person has, or this group of people have pulled up on the Freemasonry, is just amazing what they have found. And this stretches from continent to continent. This is not just in the United States. A big, big part of it is in England. And the Illuminati came up as a part of that to be the elite. They were called the Enlightened Ones. That's what Illuminati means, the Enlightened Ones. And they were in effect for really strong for about 20 years. And then they supposedly fizzled out, but they really never did.
So they basically went underground.
They were like a secret society within a secret society. I mean, that's part of it. And it's the idea that 120-some people, 120, 128, I've heard, rule and control everything in the world. I mean, they control the media, they control, I mean, everything is for, you know, each person has a role with the banking, with the government, with music, with videos. Walt Disney is a part of this. And, you know, I mean, there's so many interconnections, it's unbelievable. And if you don't believe me, look at CBS. CBS has the I right on it.
Yeah.
That's your media. That's one of the controllings of media.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's definitely the media. If you notice, when you watch the news, even our local stations, now we have three local news stations that are on our network, so they basically are all reading the same script. And, in fact, they'll almost always be telling the same news story at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that very effective brainwashing of the keep saying the same thing over and over again. And so if you hear it enough, eventually you'll believe it. That was part of Hitler's philosophy. If you tell the lie long enough, eventually people will believe it.
Mm-hmm.
But, Phil, why don't you give us your take on the Illuminati?
I agree with everything Chris is saying. It was founded in May 1st, 1776, by Adam Wunsorf. Lacy found the Bavarian Illuminati side. It's a secret society. But I go back to what I was saying earlier. If you don't want a headache, I mean, it's good to study the stuff. That's what I'm doing now. But if you don't want the headache, just understand the Bible. The serpent in the garden betrayed mankind already by getting Eve to eat the apple or whatever the heck it was. And he kind of like gave her the notion that she can be as God.
Yeah.
The Illuminati is to me, a puppet for Satan. And people probably say, well, why would you say that since the Illuminati is so powerful? Satan can crush any of them at any time if God gives them permission. So the Illuminati has wars within itself.
Yeah, they would, yeah.
Yeah, so different factions of the Illuminati fight. I say the powerful one, the most powerful family, is the Rothschilds. And the Rothschilds, you know, greatly influence society. But once again, we go back to old Bluefoot Lucifer, who is the prince of the power of the air.
Yeah, the greatest deceiver. And in fact, for people that aren't familiar, I can't remember the French pronunciation because there was someone actually introducing, I think her name is Philippine Rothschild, or however they said it in French. We say Rothschild in English, but she actually, if you look on the internet, she actually wears the necklace, a demonic necklace. with the goat's head on it, or the devil's head. She actually has pictures of her wearing these necklaces. So if you don't believe that these families are involved in demonic activity, they are. They don't. Some of them don't try to hide it. For instance, like we said last week about Kanye West giving Jay-Z a golden skull. Now, you know, who gives their friend a skull? Like, I wouldn't want a skull. That's not the type of gift that you would give an ordinary person.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's only on the R&B stations, and I don't listen to R&B, but my wife tells me this when she used to listen to it. It's only like 12 or 15 artists that they actually play.
Yeah.
So that tells you that the secret societies have a monopoly on the music industry. They have a monopoly on everybody, practically.
Well, yeah, you could see that the other night, when I was watching American Idol, they had the Keith Urban flashing the demonic hand signal a couple times.
Mm.
But he was identifying himself, you know.
Yeah, he's probably gonna go up in the world too. He's probably gonna do an album that's gonna really sell high. And it's kind of funny because if you look at some of the artists that came out of the Illuminati, for instance, or never went in, like, for instance, Boyz II Men. These guys used to be one of the biggest sellers ever. Now, they didn't split up. They haven't been doing anything. And if you look at people like, what is her name? I can't remember her name right now, but she has a real-life program. And my wife watches her all the time, but I can't remember her name. But if I do, I'll say it. But anyway, she's not doing it hot, and it doesn't have anything to do with drugs. I believe that some of these artists who are not doing it hot haven't completely sold their soul to the devil. Now, when Whitney Houston died, if you notice, when Chaka Khan was being interviewed on CNN, she was trying to give singing. She was trying to speak in code so everybody can get it. And what she was saying is that this industry is a tough industry, and you're going to have to do some things to get there and get up there. And then there was another interview that Whitney Houston done, and she was speaking in code once again. And a lot of these people are speaking in code. Now, they had one, Eminem, is a rapper, one of the top rappers, I think. And he had an album cover. And people are speculating that he's trying to get out the Illuminati. But anyway, he was sitting in a chair on the album cover, and he was inside of a glass. And what he was trying to say is, I can't get out. But he was pointing, his thumb was on his chin, and behind him was a pyramid with a light. With a lamp inside
yeah.
of the pyramid.
Yeah.
And he was trying to point at the pyramid as if these jokers won't let me out. But I don't know if he's trying to get out or what. But we
yeah,
know
well,
what
if you really want to get out, you get out. But it's just, it's
yeah.
kind of a parallel that we have with these TV preachers that we see.
Yeah.
And they sold out to the devil.
Yeah.
Most of the famous preachers, and I'll say a couple names, Benny Hinn, Kenneth Copeland, Mike Murdoch, Paula White, T.D. Jakes, they achieve fame, and they achieve financial success beyond, you know, our wildest dreams. But how do they get that money? They get it through manipulation and witchcraft by taking up these seed faith offerings and promising you the world for a financial donation. That's how Rome was built as far as the Vatican. That's how St. Peter's was built, one of the most fantastic churches in the world, full of gold and 10 football fields full of artwork. Who's richer than them? Nobody.
Well, you
got
to understand also the devil has an awful lot of money.
Yeah, he's got a lot of money, but, you know,
money.
Yeah. I mean, you know, God doesn't have any money because he doesn't need money, but he certainly, you know, give us ways to get it. But we don't have to get it through selling ourselves out to the devil to have a ministry.
But that's
and it's almost laughable
do.
Watching Christian television, what they call Christian television. It's not even Christian. I'm like, could you please give me at least one or two people here that didn't sell out?
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. Phil mentioned it, too. They sell their soul to the devil, literally. They make a deal with the devil.
Yeah.
And the devil is saying, hey. And that goes right back to that commercial with the Mercedes. The young man is sitting there, and the devil's like, you know what? You sell your soul to me, I'll give you all of this. I'll give you the Kate Upton. I'll give you the Usher. I'll give you the new car. You'll get the red carpet, the man of the year. Can you see how that all just is the world stuff? And that's why the Bible is very clear. Don't accumulate worldly riches. They're not what you're thinking. And,
well,
and
that's
why
the Bible
that.
Said how it's very hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Because
and
they
why?
Have to sell their, well, I mean,
yeah,
no,
because
they don't have
there's
to.
Too many distractions.
There are
there's
too many,
many
distractions. Yes, and the devil will play a part of that. And the devil will say, you sell your soul to me and let me control what you do, I will give you all of this.
Yeah, he was saying that to Jesus. He was actually
said that to Jesus. Exactly.
Yeah, and that's the thing, see, Satan was in heaven at one time. He's a fallen angel.
Mm-hmm.
So he knew Jesus.
You bet.
He knew who he was, but he actually had the nerve to tell Jesus, I'll give you everything, when he already knew he had it was already his.
Yep.
So that's how subtle, I mean, to me that was idiotic. It's like he's trying to tempt Jesus when he already knew who Jesus was.
And you don't think he doesn't do that to us mere people? If he tempts the Son of God like that?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Jesus,
well,
when Jesus was at a very low point, you know, with no food, and he was, you know, actually prime for the temptation, you know, in the humanistic eyes. Why not the devil more so with us mere humans who are not the Son of God? It's amazing to me that people cannot see where the devil is so strong.
Well,
and
I want them to see, anybody that's listening, and I'm going to be replaying this program this week. I want you to actually look at what you're doing when you send in seed faith offerings. I can hardly take it anymore because, you know, a few times this week I'm turning on the TV and watching some of these people that call themselves ministers of Jesus Christ, and they're just working for the devil because they're collecting 10%. They have to have your 10%, and they make it like it's holy and like you're giving it to God, when what's God going to do with money? God doesn't need any money. We need money. Just tell the truth that I'm taking it for myself, for my ministry. Don't put God in the equation. Like, you know, God's raining down money from the sky, and we hold up the money in the air, and they had them holding up their offerings in the air like it was, you know, this is a holy time. Like, you know, it's ridiculous, the whole thing. And I'm like, what? These people are so brainwashed. What is wrong with these people? I'm saying, thank you, Jesus, you got me out of this mess.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the same thing. We see the devil has trapped these people. They sold out because, look, I can have a lot of money. This thing works. This whole manipulation game of manipulating people and making them think that they're doing something holy and God's, you know, going to jump off his throne when they throw $5 his way. Wake up, people. What are you doing?
It's selling your soul to something other than Jesus Christ. Even if it looks like something like Christianity, it takes away, it makes it so that a person other than Christ will be controlled of your health, where I need to go to Benny Hinn to get myself healed instead
yeah.
of going to the great physician.
That's
and
right.
What irritates me the most is, why doesn't somebody go to Benny Hinn and say, if you have the power of healing like you claim you do, why are you not in the local hospital and clearing
that
out?
Well, there was someone that – there actually was a guy he used to be on the internet. I don't see him anymore, but he used to go and stand in at the entrance to Benny Hinn's church, and they were carrying signs. And they were trying, they actually tried to, you know, talk to him about it. Exactly that whole, that's what you're saying, when he had a church in Orlando. And he actually had some off-duty police officers working for him, Benny Hinn. And they actually went and threatened these people with arrest. They were standing on public property, the entrance to the church, public property with the signs. And they were trying to get Benny Hinn to repent and to stop his manipulating and all that. And he said the same thing. Then why isn't he cleaning out the hospitals?
Yeah.
Anyway, if you have the gift of healing, it's not yours.
Exactly.
You're not doing the healing.
That's exactly it. And how many people would turn back to the Lord if he would just go into a hospital? Look how many people would do it. How many people
the anointing. The anointing is here. Like, well, it's not your anointing anyway. Anybody that's ever been sick realizes there's nothing you can do in yourself.
No.
Unless God helps you, you're not getting better.
Exactly. And he is manipulating people, and he takes their money to go. I have a close friend that had a son that was sick, and I'm sure he prayed about it. Oh, don't get me wrong. I'm sure he went to the Lord about it. But he drags the boy to Benny Hinn to get healed. And he says, you know what? I put $100 in the collection plate when it ran around just in case it would have helped. I just went, wow, you just got fooled.
Yeah.
Wow. He didn't have $100 to put in there.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm like,
well, now they tell
the
you can use your credit card. You can use your credit card. They actually have slot machines in the churches now.
Oh, yeah. We have become almost to the point where the devil is in control. That's just like, why don't we take away
what
from God?
What is wrong with this? What is going on here?
I said,
give me a chance. Give me some airwaves, Lord. You know, thank God we have Blog Talk Radio, because we have some airwaves out here that we could use. Because, you know, they're not letting us on TV. It would be some kind of a miracle if one of us got on one of these programs. Oh, yeah, let somebody else have a voice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Instead of these bunch of hypocrites and false prophets, and any people out there are following these people, you need to repent. I mean, repent and run for your life, because you've been taken captive by the devil and ensnared, because you can't buy anything from God. You can't give God enough money to bless you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't give my mother any money to bless me, or my father, and they're human beings, and I don't bribe them.
Right.
With financial offerings to get them to bless me. They bless me just because I'm their child. How much more does God love you?
You bet. We're a child of God. Rest in that.
That's it. And when you rest and you stop trying to work everything out in your own the way you think it's supposed to be worked out, it's not going to work out the way you think it's going to be worked out usually. You know, God's going to do something because he's going to do it, and you can't make him do anything. So it's like we're free. Either we're free in Jesus Christ or we're not free.
Amen.
I was a slave before I was born again. I don't want to go back into slavery. I didn't like being a slave to the devil. I like serving Jesus Christ a lot more than serving the devil. But Phil, now, you were going to talk a little bit, too, about spiritual warfare in these end times, so I wanted to see what you had to say.
Well, for me, for the last couple of months, I've been basically revisiting things I should have already known in the first place. That God, if you read Ephesians chapter 6, it says, be strong in the power of his might. and the Lord's might. And then it tells you to put on the armor of God. If you look at Joshua and their battle, when they were obedient to God, they won. When they disobedient, they lost. I think today's church, not all of them, but a lot of them, don't really talk about the power of God to deliver us from addictions and vices that easily beset us and slow us down. Sometimes we get distracted. There's a lot of noise out there. I know what President Obama was talking about, Netanyahu, said there's a lot of noise. Now, that's the bad. That's not what I'm talking about.
Oh, you're bringing up.
That's not what I'm talking
about. Now, you're bringing up a whole other topic. I want to ask you this now. I am perplexed because, I mean, this man has some kind of hypnotic hold on people. I don't get it, especially some people that, you know, say they're Christians. Now, I have a friend, and I mean, I don't like to use the term African-American because, you know, we're Americans. We have a different skin color, just like I don't call myself a Polish-American, you know. I'm an American because I live in America. Okay, I have white skin. My friend has black skin. And she said to me, she said, well, Susan, the Lord told me that Obama is a forerunner of the Antichrist, but I voted for him. I went out and voted for him, and I'm like, I don't know. Now, that didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I don't know what the case was right there, but I believe she's right. I think she.
Yeah, I thought she was right too. But why did she go to the voting booth?
Because of pressure, peer pressure. Maybe she thinks it's her title because she's black. She has to vote for.
Yeah,
Obama.
But why?
I don't get it.
Like, who's our allegiance to? Is it to Jesus or is it to the politician?
Well, if she's drinking a lot of eating a lot of processed foods and drinking aspartame, she's probably going to do that anyway. And sitting in front of
maybe
the television.
Maybe it's the steroids.
Yeah,
she's been taking. I don't know. I'm like, I don't get it because I didn't vote for the white guy. I mean, you know.
Well, I voted for a Christian and I barely even knew, but I just read what they stood for, and I voted. I mean, it's not like you got to pick the 49ers or the Ravens or you're going to go to work Monday morning feeling bad. I mean, people turn this into a sporting event, voting for president. If I vote for, I want the winning president. I mean, vote your conscience.
Your
morality.
Yeah, your morality.
Don't vote because you feel you have to do this or have to do that. I mean, I don't want to be someone who is forced to vote for Barack Obama because he's black. Well, so now what color am I because I didn't vote for him? I wouldn't vote for Barack Obama if you paid me. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you fooled me. You fooled me once. Shame on me. Fooled me twice. You know, shame on me too.
Well, that's it. Because I remember when George W. Bush was first running for president, and they were saying he was a Christian, and he was saying he was pro-life, and all this. So, I mean, he fooled me the first time.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah,
you know, it wasn't a couple of days, right? Remember, the couple of days after he was in office, in January, whenever they were inaugurated, and he sends his wife out to say that she believes in abortion. And I'm like,
wow.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
Okay. All right,
wow.
Sends the wife out. And then he comes out. One of the first things he's going to do as president is this whole stem cell debate is on. And it's like, okay, if you don't think these people are demonic, like, who in the world wants stem cells put in their body from dead babies? Give me a break, please.
Wow.
This is medicine? No, it's not medicine. No, it is not medicine. Like, you are a fool if you believe that stuff. So, then, of course, George W. comes out and he says, well, I'm going to let them use these stem cells that they've already taken from dead babies. I won't let them use any new cell lines, but I'm going to let them use the ones that are already there. So I'm saying, well, you know what? This guy is not a Christian. And you're a fool. And then you continually, during the 8 years that he was president, not everybody was drinking the Kool-Aid, but there was people writing books about his Christianity. They were appearing on Christian television. But didn't Jesus say, by their fruit you'll know them? So, look, if there's no fruit there.
You know what, Susan? Oh, check this out. Okay, we were talking about Bush, you know, supposedly being a Christian. But try this on for size. They're making Obama a deity. There's a lot of people out there trying to make him a god. So we go from Christian to God. I mean, I can't understand that myself. I mean,
well, they make him an idol.
Yeah.
My friend says to me, well, she says, you know, they try to say that Obama's for abortion, but he said he's not personally for abortion, but since he's president, he has to allow it because he has to let people do what they want. I'm like, yeah, okay, sure. All right, yeah. That's another dose of Kool-Aid right there.
Yeah.
Wow. Too much drinking the Kool-Aid, because if you're really a Christian, which it would be kind of an oxymoron anyway to be president and be a real born-again believer, because you have to kill people.
Well, this kind of goes into the idea that many people thought the both Bushes were part of the Illuminati. They were known to visit the Bohemian Club every year.
Yeah.
Now, you are the Bohemian Grove.
Yeah, the Bohemian
Don't
Grove.
Don't forget, Bush was part of the Skull and Bones.
Yeah.
That has been proven. And
yeah,
he
that was
admitted
proven.
To it.
Sure.
So that's all masonry.
Sure.
But don't you let me know that he was a true believer, because I tell
oh,
you what,
please.
True believers are not a part of Skull and Bones.
No, and then...
And once you are a part of that, you do not get out. I mean, they take an oath.
Yeah.
I mean, it's blood. It's a blood... Skull and Bones especially, that's a blood oath. You leave, you die.
Yeah. Well, of course, you know, the rumor was going around that he was born again. And then, he sent his wife out again. He used to like to send her out to clean up the mess, you know, to tell the real truth. So she goes on Larry King, and Larry King asks her, well, you know, it's going around that your husband is born again Christian. And she said, no, he's not. He never said that.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay. And I notified a couple of my friends, they're not good friends, I just know them. They have a Christian television program on Christian television. And they were promoting this whole idea of his being born-again Christian. So I sent them an email. I told them, I said, his wife just was on saying he's not born again. And he can't be born again because he supported stem cell research. And they were so mad at me. I'm like, okay, that's it. I'm
well,
not wasting my time to shake the dust
when
off
light
my
shines
feet.
On the darkness.
Oh, honest. I'm like, can you please give me a break over here? You know, if people don't show true fruit of Christianity, if they're not displaying the character of Jesus, look, all of us miss it. I'm not saying 24 hours a day we're always displaying the character of Jesus. We're trying. But we're not outright trying to act like the devil and then tell people that we're Christians.
But that's part of the cloak, you know, that's part of the lambs and, or it was a wolves and sheep's clothing.
Yeah, now they had some kind of a something on the internet that two of these Hollywood movie stars they speak in tongues, yet they take their clothes off. I'm like, and they go to Bible study and speak in tongues, but yet they do nude scenes. I'm like, oh, will you please stop? Stop!
That
what is
falls
wrong
into
with
the
people?
Line, it really falls into the line of voodoo, if you think of it. It has the spirit of voodoo in it. And Kenneth Copeland is big into that type of thing. More and more, you're starting to see him at these type of religious activities, these churches that talk about getting drunk with the spirit. And that goes back to the whole idea of Pentecost, that these, oh, they look like they're drunk. So they actually act like they're drunk.
Yeah.
And they go into this spirit where, hold on. Oh, sorry. They go into this spirit where they laugh hysterically.
Yeah, holy laugh.
And it is almost, it's a freak show.
It's really a freak show.
And Kenneth Copeland is all wrapped up into this. He's right in the audience. They have the camera on him most of the time.
Oh, yeah,
that was
a few years back, I think, when he was at a Kenneth Hagin meeting, and he was acting like a nut.
Yep, and that is voodoo.
Well, he was hypnotized.
Yeah, well, that's voodoo, too.
And you can see it. Kenneth Hagin was hypnotizing those people.
You bet. He touches them on the forehead. Another thing that Benny Hinn will do, he'll kind of touch them on the forehead and they fall off. You know, they fall down. That is a spirit. That is a demon. That's not the Holy Spirit. That is a demon. And
well,
that
Benny Hinn, actually, when the Pope, the last Pope, I can't remember who it was. I don't know if it was John, the Pope before this one, before Benedict. After he died, Benny Hinn actually went to Rome to the funeral. And he had the nerve to say that his ministry had produced a documentary on the life of the Pope, and they were selling it.
Huh? That shows you the interconnection between the Vatican and a lot of these false religions.
Sure, because who's richer than them? Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's richer than them. When you come to think about all the real estate they own. In almost every city or town, they own a few churches, a few maybe multi-million dollars worth of real estate.
And that's in almost
every town in this country.
And I think Phil will agree with me. Their aim is to own Jerusalem, and they already have a part of it.
Well, let's talk about that, because that's a good topic right there. Why does the Catholic Church want to own Jerusalem?
Money. It's a Mecca. That's where they can get pilgrimages to go to the Holy Land. If they can get pilgrimages to the Solomon's Temple and actually own that, you imagine the money. Oh, the money coming in. This is their Mecca.
Well, they just had some kind of an agreement with the Vatican.
Yes, they did.
The Israeli government was to give them a seat at the Last Supper.
Phil, help me out on this. Is it the, I'm trying to think of what it was.
They gave them a seat. They sold them a seat in the upper room.
That's what it was, yes, where Jesus had the Last Supper. That's what they sold them.
Yeah.
So Rome now actually owns the actual place where Jesus had the Last Supper. Don't you remember Judas was also sitting in there? What part of the Vatican is part of that whole scene?
Well, next week, Brenda Johnson's going to be on. We're going to do a program about the Temple Mount. So that'll be an interesting program. But Phil, give us your take on that.
Well, some people say that the Catholic Church is tied in or started the Islamic faith. This is what I'm looking at. I understand Satan's at the top. So if you had a big pyramid, Satan would be at the top. But what I'm seeing is there's starting to be how you see the more your husband and wife hang together, the more they look alike. Well, I'm starting to see these organizations from the music industry to the Catholic Church to TBN, all these organizations starting to have a common bond, which is to be like God or to be gods. So as I look at the Catholic Church taking over Jerusalem or trying to take over Jerusalem, they want to play a part in the end time saga. They want to play a part and bringing about a one world government. That's why you see Pope John Paul or some of these the Pope, current Pope we have now, talking about one world government, because they understand what the globalists want. These people are under the Illuminati, technically, but they're outside of the Illuminati. They're an island to themselves, but not to themselves. So they're highly influenced by Illuminati. So if you go into look at the popes, and you go and look at the costumes, and go look at these symbols around the pope, these things are straight up demonic.
Yeah.
But the common thread to all of this is Satan is at the top, and he wants to be worshipped. So he has all these organizations, all these things that are going to influence people to one day worship him as God. And they can also share in the deity to become as God. So to take over Jerusalem is sacred, just like the Islamic faith wants Jerusalem. They believe it because Jerusalem was Abraham's, you know, that's our father, and we must claim the land. They have no claim to that land. Only God's people have claim to that land. They know it. They know it. That's why they get all mad. But to answer your question, I said a lot, but to answer your question, I believe that it's total control. Satan wants to own Jerusalem. He's going to go into the temple. He's going to sit down as God. Now, the Antichrist to me will be part Vatican or Catholic Church, and he will be part Islamic. And he will also, and the reason why I say that is because he's going to be able to bring these two parties together, and he's going to be able to bring peace in the Middle East. And he's going to go into the temple, sit down, and say, I am God, you are little God. And that's
I agree. That's why we got the formation of Chrislam right now. That movement is becoming more and more, it's getting stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Chrislam, Christianity, Islam.
Yep.
Thank you,
Rick
Warren.
Well, notice that they're saying now that the new CIA nominee is a convert to Muslim, to being a Muslim.
Of course.
Muslim.
Oh.
They used to say Muslim. Now they say Muslim. But now I was reading that post, so I don't know if it's 100% true. You know, I've seen it on the internet that he supposedly. Now that would be interesting, right?
Well, of course, and we have, you know, more and more of our Congress, our senators are. There's a few more that are coming in with alternate religions. We have a new Hindu now. I think she's a woman. You know, you got to remember the Vatican's goal is to bring that one world religion under itself.
Yeah.
I mean, they have done that now with a number of conventions. They have all
They've been
the
very good at
the
it.
World.
They're very, very good at it.
Oh my goodness. What has a pagan witchcraft a Wiccan? What has a Wiccan got to do with a convention of world religions to come under the invite of the Pope? I'm just totally blown away. If Christians don't, if Catholic Christians cannot see where their church is going.
They've been very effective with their brainwashing because most of my family, they're in that church.
Yeah, and it's the teachings of the church. Why don't we go back to the teachings of the Bible? That's the crux, but it's not. It's the teachings of the church. Well, the church has been twisted and turned throughout the centuries to the point where it's no longer a Church of Christ anymore.
Oh, no. I don't think it ever was. I mean, first of all, they founded it on the false premise that Peter was the first pope. And there's no biblical evidence that Peter was even in Rome.
You know what? You go into the Bible, and that part right there where Jesus said, "Get thou behind me, Satan." Who did he say that to?
Yeah.
Their first pope.
Well, not only that, I have a relative that's, you know, died in the wool Catholic. And I was saying, well, I was trying to tell her something about Peter. I said, well, you know, Peter had a wife. He did not.
She says, he did.
Where did he say, where does it say that? I said, well, Jesus healed his mother-in-law, so he had a wife. Oh, she was like this.
Yeah, and Jesus also called him Satan at one point.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that kind of makes sense.
I'm like, you tell them the Bible, but they don't want to believe the Bible. And even on TBN, you know, Phil, you brought up TBN. They have Catholic priests on there have a program. I'm like, what is wrong with these people? And then they had Paul Crouch on a few years ago with a Catholic priest, and he's telling him that he wanted to receive communion from a Catholic priest. And the Catholic priest said, well, do you believe that Jesus actually... Now, you know, this is really a stretch of the imagination. Now, this is really a very, very good brainwashing. They have been very effective at this year. He says to Paul Crouch, do you actually believe that Jesus is present in the host, in the wafer? Now, excuse me, people, you know, maybe there's some Catholics listening, whatever. Now, wait a minute. Jesus Christ himself, the Lord God Almighty, the Savior of the world, does not come and live in a wafer and then people eat him. No.
That goes...
Wait a minute. People, that does not happen. It is not real. It is not true. Just as Phil and Christine and myself are real human beings, none of us are going to go and live in a wafer. Help us, God.
That's all part of the delusion. How can we be like God by doing certain things? And
that's a good analogy.
That's it, right there. How can we be like God? And in Book of Revelation, it says it more than once that Satan is ultimately worshipped in the end times. All the world will follow the beast, and of course we have believers that, you know, will not, but all the world will follow the beast and its number, and they worshipped, you know, a Satan who gave the beast life. You know, this is all part of Revelation, and the Lord punished them because they refused to repent of their sorcery.
Of their sorcery. Now, that is sorcery, that you can actually hold up a wafer in the air.
Yes.
And
that
somebody says
right.
Magic words over the wafer, and then the wafer becomes the body of Jesus.
That is voodoo in a very sad, sad way.
Yes. You hit it right on the head, because there was a program on a was I looking on the internet? I think I was doing some searching on the internet about the Catholic Church in the city of Rome, I think it was on one of these travel programs, yeah, that they were visiting Rome. They actually showed, they had a statue in one of the churches with an angel crushing, stepping on the head of a Protestant.
Yes, yes, you are right. There's a lot of detail in their imagery. That's why, and I go back to that riddles in stone. You know, riddles in stone means the statues that are made.
Yeah.
And how many of them in the Vatican and in the Catholic churches actually are nothing to do with Christ and nothing
no.
to do with God? They go back to the Egyptian gods.
Yeah, and they also had a statue of an angel tearing out the book, the pages of the Protestant Bible. Where I don't consider myself a Protestant. I'm a Christian.
I'm a follower of Christ.
Yes, I'm a follower
it's
of Christ.
Not
I'm not
religion,
protesting
people.
Anything. They try to make it like, you know, oh, there was these weird people that they came out and they started protesting against the so-called one true church. I'm not protesting.
No, it's not
against
religion.
You.
Jesus
no.
hated the religious people. He hated. He really detested. I mean, he called them a brood of vipers. I can't imagine what today's language that would be. But 2,000 years ago, a brood of vipers was not a good thing. And he called them those that were the religious, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It was the religious people of his day. It's like, it's not about this. It's relationship with me.
That's right. It's
and
a personal relationship.
And a lot of people ask me, Chris, are you a religious person? You must be. I says, don't ever call me that. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. I do not want to be religious. relationship with Jesus Christ puts the fruit out on my tree, and that's how you see Christ through me.
That's right. I also wanted to, I know when I say, wait a minute, like I'm not telling my guests to wait a minute. I'm just like, wait a minute, you know, shouting out there. And but I'm not trying to be rude to my guests by telling them, wait a minute. No, that just kind of comes out of my mouth. But anyway, so, Phil, what do you think about this whole thing with the Pope and Rome's involvement in this whole Antichrist beast system?
I've always believed my views have changed a lot, but I've always believed that the Catholic Church will play a huge, huge part in the end time. What I believe is the Antichrist will be this is just me. I believe I can be wrong all outdoors. And I've been wrong before a lot, and I don't mind being wrong. The Antichrist will be from Syria, and the Pope will be the false prophet. And I believe that the false prophet will have a lot to say in the end time. And the reason why is because the Bible explains the Antichrist as a politician more than more than a religious figure.
Uh-huh.
I believe that the Antichrist will be a monarch. For some strange reason, Syria, me and a friend looked it up, that Syria's monarchy was stopped in the early 1900s. So I believe they were somewhat, when Damascus is destroyed, referring back to a monarchy. And the Pope and the Vatican will play a huge part getting, when you see Hades or something go down in an earthquake or, tsunami or something like that in another country, you see how they raise money and all these other things. Well, if Israel's blamed for Damascus destruction, they're going to be making enemies at that point. But I believe that the Vatican will play a peacemaker position to lighten up the fire of the world hating Israel and bring the world, that region at least, into a Mediterranean-type deal of the old Roman Empire. Because I decided to just let the Bible say it to me, and that's what I get. Now, somebody else might get another interpretation, which is fine. I don't own the patents on Bible prophecy, and never claim to. So am I 100% sure this scenario is going to take place? Probably not. But I'm at least about 75% sure that the Antichrist is going to hold hands with the Pope, and they're going to lead the world. And it's a false trinity. It's Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet.
Yeah.
You have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Now, I believe if you study the relationship between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, you're going to think that the Antichrist Trinity, or the evil Trinity, will try to mimic what's going on. So when you see Sister Chris bring up voodoo, well, when they're calling fire from the sky, and he's causing the fire to come down from the sky in front of the Antichrist, the false prophet's called the fire to come down, we are already being groomed for hocus pocus or voodoo. As a society, we're being groomed for voodoo. It's all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also being groomed for satanic worship. Even TVN, if you go check on YouTube, you'll find these guys saying, demoting Jesus and promoting Satan. So a long time ago, I already knew that TBN, some of them, worship the devil. But you have to look it up. So I asked myself a question: why are they worshiping the devil, and also a lot of these people are promoting the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
And you, I start to see similarities in almost everything, every culture, as far as the leadership of this world, all the influence that comes into people's households, all these organizations are being influenced. If you look at, like, for instance, Shell, you know, gas station, or you look at, you know, CBS, you see these symbols that they represent the, you know, the all-seeing eye. And these things are all coming into your household. But if you look at the Vatican and then you look at these organizations, they all tie into the same, they all basically use the same symbol. If you go, I bet you $20 if you was a bet, if I was a betting man, I can go to TBN churches, and some of these jokers will have symbols that are counter, that they're either in the Catholic Church, they either used by the Islam, they're either used by, I mean, I hate to be all over the place, but I wouldn't have that much time. If you also look at the cartoons on different networks like Disney and all these networks, and if you go to make a visit to Disney World, you notice they have the same symbols as the Catholic Church. I mean, it's almost as if everything is starting to sing and dance together. Everything is starting to come together. And you would see in the end times, you know, you study it, and you would think about 10 years ago, 15 years ago, it would be ridiculous for someone to say, I am a god, or we are gods, or the Antichrist is a god. But now I see how we've been put to sleep like the proverbial frog in the boiling water or in the cool water, and then they turn up the temperature. I'm starting to see how everything in our culture is starting to jive together. I mean, it's almost scary how the symbolism and how we are being tricked into accepting devil worship and Satan worship.
Yes, instead of the word of God, because now if people don't want to be deceived, you need to read your Bible for yourself. You can no longer depend on what they call Christian television, which most of it is far from Christian. They left Christianity a long time ago. And you can't depend on your pastor, for the most part, to tell you the truth. Most of these guys don't even read the Bible for themselves. Otherwise, they wouldn't even be teaching tithing. Like, can you at least read the Bible, what it says about tithing, that it was never money? How many people are teaching that? No. They're dependent totally on the people coming to church every Sunday so they can fulfill their vision of building a 10 or a 20 or $50 million building as a edifice of worship to themselves. Look what I did. And meanwhile, picking people's pockets. Could you at least get it straight? If you're going to stand up there and teach the word of God and call yourself a Bible teacher, could you at least read the book?
Mm-hmm.
Could you at least do that? And then get up. And if you're going to get up on Sunday morning and you've got a congregation of 1,000 people or 2,000 people or 10,000 or whatever you have, could you at least read the Bible? Because doesn't the Bible say that we're responsible? If we're going to teach the word of God, we are doubly responsible for what we tell people. So aren't we responsible then for telling you the truth? And if we do miss it, could you at least admit that you missed it?
Well, it's almost impossible to tell somebody anything bad about T.D. Jakes, because you can't talk about T.D. Jakes like that. And then they'll look at you as judge. You're judging. I say you're judging me, judging you, judging.
Yes.
We are to discern. We are to discern the spirits, to test them, to judge them, to see if they come from God.
Sure.
We're supposed to do that.
Yeah, we're supposed to do that. That's okay.
When the word judge becomes another five-letter word, it's like, oh, we're not supposed to judge.
Yeah.
I believe there is a book of judges. I think in Timothy. What was that all about?
There was a book of judges?
Hang on, because I think I've got
we had Deborah was a judge, and she was a woman.
Read 1 Corinthians 5, verse 9 through 13. We are supposed to judge. It says it right there. And if the man or the woman is found to be in sin, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to throw them out.
Yeah.
We're supposed to judge amongst each other. God is the judge of the unbeliever. We are the judge of each other. So if someone claims to be a Christian and then does something totally against the word of God, I have a right and I have a need to call them on it.
Oh, amen. You know, last week we had talked about the word whore. Now, the reason why most people don't even know that that word exists in the Bible is because they've taken it out of most of the modern translations. It's not in there. So you see that. Now, from what I see, because mainly, you know, I was saved in 1981, and now I read a lot of different Bible translations. I went back to King James. I like King James. Like I said, I don't get into big arguments over people with people over King James. I'm King James preferred.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that they take a lot of words out, and they're not there. The word fornication is not in most of the modern translations. The word sodomy has been removed.
Of course.
So now I see a new generation, and I see this clearly because I see a new generation of people being raised on most of the modern translations. They've never, you know, cracked open a King James Bible with that have all these words in it. So you can see there's a different mindset, and I'm noticing this. There's a different mindset because these words don't appear.
Well, that's just color sin to the point where it looks pretty. That's called good evil and evil good. I mean, this is the movement towards the end times. Jesus predicted this so many times. It's the watering down of what sin is actually is. And now
exactly.
The word judge comes in. You're not supposed to judge me. You are supposed to be tolerant. Well, if you bring back the Old Testament once, you will see what happens when somebody did go against God's word. He killed them. And if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, what makes you think he is not going to bypass judgment? And when you have preachers, and right here in Michigan, the big one here is Rob Bell. Does that ring a bell?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
The love wins
he
and there's
is,
no hell.
He is right in my hometown here. Of
yeah, well,
now,
even some of the modern translations have taken out the word hell.
Yes,
so,
because
yeah,
it's
well, there's
too
no
gloomy.
Hell because it's not in the Bible. So
there is no hell. What? Then how unfair is God then if I strive to live for him and I make my sacrifices, I don't get to go to the bars on the weekend and have fun. Instead, I prefer not to because I know that that's not something that God would like me to do, to get drunk at Super Bowl parties. I cannot do that because I don't want to, but yet there is no hell for those who choose to do that? How unfair is that?
It is the new form of the apostate. You know, it's the apostate church. Do whatever you want. Anyway, everybody gets saved in the end.
And here we go.
God forbid
do
you have an altar
will.
Call. I mean, there's even some people out there that they don't want you to extend an invitation for people to accept Jesus Christ. Well, the Bible says, how will they hear unless you send a preacher?
Yep.
So we're preaching the gospel because we want you to hear the truth and make a decision who you're going to serve. Are you going to serve Jesus? Or are you going to serve the devil? Now, I've had hundreds of altar calls in my life. I always enjoyed the altar call.
I always send up. It's amazing how I will get teary-eyed when
yes.
I see the brokenness of someone
right.
in front, totally on their knees, sobbing uncontrollably, because I've been there and done that. And when you make the connection, and if you are not moved by that, then there's something wrong, because that's a brother or sister coming to the Lord right there.
I'm like, you know, what are you talking about? Now, okay, well, the altar call is not in the Bible, so we're not supposed to. Where is an altar call in the Bible, so we're not supposed to give an altar call? I'm like, well, okay, if we don't tell people how to accept Christ, if we don't share our testimony, how is anybody going to get saved if nobody's preaching the gospel? What are we supposed to do, be quiet?
And how do you become born again? Jesus said it. In order for you to enter into the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. What does that mean? That's a total turnaround. That's a totally a new birth. It's something brand new. It is a day, a place, a time, an hour where you gave yourself to the Lord. And you are not born again by evolving. If I
no.
evolved to be a Christian. I was a Christian when I was a kid. I'm one now. But I never gave my life to the Lord at one particular day. Then you're not born again. To be born again is
yeah, did you
totally
ever hear
new.
These people say, well, they ask people, well, when were you born again? Well, I don't exactly remember. I remember.
How
do you not remember when you were born again?
You bet. And you know,
well, then I don't think it happened
that,
if you don't remember when it happened. How about the, then you have these people that said, well, you don't have a free will. You don't have free will. Look, God, I don't believe for 1 minute God made robots.
I was not put a gun to my head when I gave my life to the Lord. A gun was not to my head. I'll tell
That's
you what,
it.
The Holy Spirit had one to my soul.
Yes, amen. I believe the
back.
Holy Spirit draws us. But
draws
God
us,
has given
but...
us a free will. You can serve God or you don't have to serve God. You've got a free will to choose. Choose ye this day who you will serve.
And there
who
is
are you
no
serve?
Gray area. You can't do both, people. You're either, and I tell this to my teenager, and he's like, Mom, I'm a Christian. I says, no, you're not. I says, you cannot listen to that kind of music, and I know he does because he hides it when I come around, and I've taken away his iPod many a time. And now to the point, he finally gets it now. I can't have that kind of music on my iPod or Mom will take it away.
Yeah.
You know, so finally he gets it. Well, he puts up on his Facebook, he's a Christian. I says, you're deleting that. What? You're not calling me a Christian? Mom, I'm offended. I says, that's because you are not saved, and you know you're not saved. And I says, you are not in a gray area. There is no such thing. You either worship God or you worship the devil. He goes, Mom, I am not worshiping the devil. I says, then listen to the music that you just deleted. I says, you listen to that, and you tell me that that is for God when it's complete opposite. I says, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, okay, that's a cute song. Is it demonic because it doesn't say anything about Jesus Christ? Oh, probably not. I mean, we can split hairs over here. But when you are listening to a song that definitely mocks Jesus Christ, then don't tell me that that is not of the devil.
That's
because,
right.
And I says, and Brent, and that's my son's name, I says, there's going to come a day where there'll be no more fences for Christians. Either you're going to be following the Antichrist.
Oh, amen to that.
Or you're going to be following God. And if you believe in a pre-trib rapture, absolutely, go ahead. Either you're going to be here or you're going to be gone. There's no more in between.
No, there won't be any more in between because
absolutely.
You're either you have to make a decision today who you're going
to
serve.
You know, and I really hate to wrap this all back to the Super Bowl commercial, but on the Mercedes commercial, this ties right in. There is a license plate on the car when the boy is driving the car. I bet not too many people caught what was on the license plate. It said it means question 28. It's QUE 28 was on the license plate. Google this because you know what it is? It means question 28. And they go, well, what's question 28? It is a common belief. Question 28 came up during World War II for Hitler. The idea, question 28, was loyalty. Who do you want to serve? Now, if that doesn't tie in to what we are just talking about now, who is your loyalty lie with?
Wow.
And that, to me, goes right back to that Mercedes commercial.
So that was
Super Bowl.
A subliminal suggestion.
You betcha. Who is your loyalty, with God or with the devil?
Wow.
And hello. Hello. People, wake up. That's my
Amen.
Common phrase lately. People, wake up.
Wake up. Amen. We just have a few minutes left here, but I wanted Phil to close us out.
All right, with a prayer?
Yeah.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your fellowship that you have had for us today. We pray, Father God, that your word will go as far as the east is to the west, God, that people would get saved, God, because you are a loving God. You also a God of judgment, that you have opened doors. You have doors open before Noah went on to the ark, and now we are living in the time, just as if the days of Noah, that people are being called to you from Blog Talk Radio to YouTube to many churches across our land, and you are calling people out of this world to be separate. We want to be that way, God. So I pray for the listeners today, God. I pray for those who have heard that you would open your heart to Jesus, and that you would understand that we need to go full steam ahead. We need to be hot for God. We need to be 100% for God, 100% in. And we pray, Father God, that your seed and your word will not return back void. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The name above all names. In fact, the Bible says you must be born again. You're born once of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. You
mm-hmm.
must confess with your mouth
yep.
that Jesus Christ is Lord and repent of your sins.
Yep.
Everybody sin. Look, you have sinned, whether you want to believe it or not. We've all sinned and
yes.
come short of the glory of God, but there is forgiveness for our sins.
You bet. And that's when we are made perfect in God's eyes.
That's
it's
right.
The blood of Christ
and
that
there's
covers.
Nothing like knowing that your sins are forgiven and you're given a brand new life and old things pass away and all things become new.
You
I'm
bet.
Telling you, it's a wonderful life to know Jesus, the peace, the joy, the contentment. I'm not afraid to die because I know where I'm going. I'm going to heaven. Heaven is a real place.
Yep.
And God lives in heaven. And
you
hell
bet.
Is a real place too.
Yep, there's a balance. A lot of people say, oh, you talk about hell so much. I says, you know what? Because I consider myself a prophet in a way, and prophets talk about warning. And,
that's
and,
right.
And that's my ministry. People, wake up. Watch what's going on around us. Be like us three, Phil, myself, and Susan. Pay attention to the symbolism out there. Pay attention to what is going on and why they're doing it, because there's always a purpose. Understand it, learn about it, and teach it to others. Be a watchman on the wall. That's exactly what we were called to do.
That's right. We're called to be the watchman on the wall. And I want to thank my guests for coming on today.
And thank you for having me. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
It was a blessing. Thanks, Phil, for coming on, and Christine. And don't forget to tune in next week for Brenda Johnson. We're going to talk
that
about
will be
the Temple Mount.
You bet. She will be interesting.
Yeah, she always is. She's a blessing. So we'll have to get together again.
Okay, and you and all your listeners, have a good weekend.
All right. God bless. Thanks, Phil, and thanks, Christine. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in today. I really appreciate your listening. And everybody that's in the chat room, big shout-out to you all. And remember, ask Jesus to come into your life today. Get down on your knees and cry out to God and ask Jesus Christ to reveal himself to you. and to forgive you. And he will come into your life and give you a brand new life. And I'm telling you, you'll never regret the day that you asked Jesus to come into your life and change your life. And he'll take away that desire for suicide and drugs and illicit sex. And he will give you a holy life. So God bless you all today. Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, there'll be no sorrow there.